of an unstable world is Jesus Christ. We learn not only the importance of knowing God's word, but also to do the things that he has called us to do. And today we are going to learn about someone who had an unshakable faith in God while under pressure. As you're turning to Daniel chapter 1, the context of this passage, the children of Israel had continued to rebel against God. They served false idols, and in spite of multiple warnings from the prophets that God would send them, they would ultimately receive God's judgment. See, the Babylonian Empire would invade Jerusalem and take people captive. And among those people who were taken captive was a young man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was probably a teenager, a young man, when he was taken from home, from his family, from everything he knew in Jerusalem. And it's during this time that he would be faced with some pressure to fall, which is why the title of my sermon this morning, we are going to learn about how we can stand for Christ while being under pressure. Daniel chapter number 1, and we're going to start reading in verse number 8, and we'll go down to verse 17. Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And then verse number 17 says, "As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." An unshakable faith requires a decision to stand before it is time to stand. An unshakable faith requires a decision to stand before it is time to stand. As Christians, we realize this morning that because we have received Jesus as our personal Savior, we should live differently. We are called to walk differently, but also be ambassadors for Christ. And if anyone understood this, it was Daniel. He understood that standing for Christ wasn't just when you were at home. It wasn't just when you were away from your family or your friends. It is for every circumstance in your life. And it did not matter even when he was facing pressure. As I was thinking about being under pressure, I consider that there are different types of pressure that we can talk about this morning and what the world believes pressure is. You know, when you are in the line to order food at a fast food restaurant or any restaurant and you have to make a decision, if there's a line behind you, you know, you're kind of pressured to quickly make a decision so that you will not hold up the people behind you. We understand that sometimes we are faced with pressure to make decisions, pressure to do something, maybe because of a deadline that's coming up. We face different types of pressure. But it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. There will be circumstances as a Christian where you will have to make decisions under pressure. As I was thinking about this, I remember when I was in college and they made an announcement that they were looking for some referees to watch some games or to be keeping an eye on what was going on some football games and basketball games. So I say, you know, I've never been a referee. I wouldn't mind trying it. So they had a meeting. They explained us the rules, you know, what you're supposed to do. And I'll never forget the first football game, the first flag football game that I ever refereed. You know, it started out going well. I was enjoying it. I was making the calls, making decisions. And it was nice being in charge in that way. And I'll never forget, it came down to one play. The first team was on the goal line. The defense was trying to not let them get a touchdown. And just as the clock hit zero, the man crossed the goal line with the football just as his flag was being pulled. All eyes turned to me since I was at the goal line. They were waiting. You could hear a pin drop. They were waiting to see, was it a touchdown or did time expire? I'll tell you, I was not very happy when I was in that moment having to make a decision. Because I knew that on one hand, one team was going to be very happy with me. And on the other hand, the other team was going to be very upset with me. I made a call, and that's exactly what happened. One team was not happy with me, the other was happy. But you know, there are always different types of pressure that requires a decision. And we have to decide that as Christians, when we face pressure, what are we going to do in that moment? Are we going to stand or are we going to fall under the pressure? This morning I want to ask you, have you personally made the decision to stand for Christ? And no matter the circumstance, will you stand in the midst of pressure? You see, Daniel made a decision very early, and he had a conviction that he was going to stand no matter the circumstance. And if we are going to have an unshakable faith in the midst of a chaotic and unstable world, we need to decide right now if we are going to stand no matter what. As we look at this passage, I want us to notice three observations about how Daniel's convictions allowed him to stand while under pressure. First of all, point number one, I want you to notice his conviction established. His conviction established. Look what it says in verse number 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, when Daniel and his friends came into Babylon, the king had a very specific plan for them. The Bible says that he changed their names. Daniel and his friends had names that pointed to God, that praised God, and they changed their names. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar's plan was to change their identity, what they were known for. But what he couldn't do was change who they were. You see, the decision that Daniel and his friend had to come to was whether they were going to eat of the king's meat or not. You see, in those days, it was a big deal. People believed that this was the same food that was offered to idols. We see that the Bible says that it was the meat and the drink which he ate, so it was the king's food. But the reason why Daniel and his friends had a strong conviction about this was because of the rules that the children of Israel had to obey. You see, they were given specific rules of some things that they could eat and some things that they couldn't eat. And according to Daniel and his friends, the food that was provided was considered unclean according to God's command. And that is what Daniel had an issue with. He had a conviction. This was something that was decided and established before he was confronted. Why did he make this decision? Well, it's because he had a relationship with God. He realized that he belonged to God, and because of that, because he was God's child, he couldn't just live any kind of way. He couldn't just do any type of thing because he wanted to obey God's command. You see, before we can make a decision to stand for Christ, we have to make a decision about what we are going to do with Christ. This is what forms Daniel's decision. It was his relationship with Christ. Do you have a relationship with God this morning? See, a few things that you have to understand is that he loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved you so much, he didn't just say it, but he showed it when he sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. Why did he have to do that? Well, it's because we are all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He died for you. He died for the whole world willingly. And all you have to do in Romans 10:13, all you have to do is call upon him to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it also says in John 1:10 that as many as received him, if you have believed Jesus as your personal Savior, to them they are called the sons of God. You are now children of God. You are now sons and daughters of God. You belong to him. And as children of God, we should live a certain way and have convictions and make decisions that will allow us to stand. You see, if we are going to stand in the midst of pressure, we need to decide to stand. We can't wait till the pressure is actually there. We can't wait before temptation is here before we decide to stand. As you can see behind me, we've decorated for our Vacation Bible School starting up tomorrow evening. And if you go downstairs, you'll see decorations there as well. But yesterday, we had a special training for the teachers, for the volunteers, so that they know what to expect. You know, we pray that there won't be any emergencies or any situations here at the church, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be prepared for what is going on. We teach our procedures and what we're supposed to do in case of an emergency, and that's good preparation. You see, it would make no sense to wait till there was an emergency before we actually get some training, which is why we have practices, walkthroughs. We want to be ready for whatever situation may come up. You see, Daniel didn't wait before the food was given to him to make the decision. He didn't wait until he had arrived into Babylon to make that decision. This was something that was established beforehand. He decided in his heart that he was going to obey God's command. See, this decision was not based on his circumstance. It wasn't based on who was around him. He didn't look around at the people that were surrounding him, his peers, his people, and make a decision based on that. He made a personal decision that he would not defile himself and be conformed to what the Babylonian king wanted them to be. What are we commanded? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, the way that we stand, if we are going to have unshakable faith, it's not being conformed to what the world is doing. That's not how we stand strong. That's not how we make decisions. That's not how we stand for Christ. We are not to be conformed to this world, but rather, the more we become like Christ, the more we are conformed to his image, the more that we will have the unshakable faith to stand in the midst of chaos. You see, I believe Daniel was more concerned about what God wanted him to be than what the nation of Babylon wanted him to be. He would rather influence them with his decision rather than them. See, if anyone had an excuse for a pity party, it was Daniel. Just imagine with me for a moment, taken away from your home at such a young age. Maybe to never return again. From his family. The places that he knew. If anyone could have excused him, oh, it was Daniel. But no, it did not matter to him. Because he made the decision to stand for Christ. He did not allow his circumstance to determine his character. Can I ask you this morning, does our circumstance determine who we are? Does it determine our convictions? Depending on where we are in this situation, what we're doing, is that when we decide how we're going to obey God, if we're going to obey or not? We can't allow our circumstance to determine what we are going to do. But I'll tell you what we can do this morning. We can make a decision and says, hey, no matter what the situation, I am going to stand. You see, our goal should be to live a life in obedience to God and to become more like him. I understand that our circumstances change every day. Situations happen. Things come up on our schedule that we probably wouldn't expect. Which is why we need to make a decision. Are we going to stand for God? Pressure may look very differently for other people. It may be, oh, everyone is doing it. You should do this. Oh, why don't you do this? Watch this. Read this. Do this. Whatever that may be. It may be pressuring in the workplace with your family, with your friends. I'm not sure what it is, but in those moments, will you stand or will you join in? Standing may mean you being the only one if necessary. It may mean when you hear someone say something or do something, being the only one not to laugh. But I love what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice that's what Joshua said. He said, you can do what you want to do, but I know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not sure, that probably was not the most famous decision that day. Maybe Joshua and his family were not the most popular when he said that statement. But I'll tell you, he had a conviction and he made a decision that it's not going to matter what my neighbors are doing. It's not going to matter what my friends are doing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you make that decision this morning? That no matter what's going on around us, will you serve the Lord? If we are going to have an unshakable faith, we need to decide that in the midst of adversity, we're not going to trust in our achievements or what we can do, but rather we are going to trust God and stand for Him. Daniel's conviction was established, but I want you to notice also, point number two, his convictions were tested. Look what it says in verse number 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel had a relationship with them. He had a great testimony. And then notice what it says in verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Can you imagine what Melzar was thinking at this time? He's thinking, wait a second. He's worried about what's going to happen to him. He feared for his life. Notice the difference between this man and Daniel. The man who was appointed over his group, over Daniel and his friends and the entire group, he was fearful for his life. But Daniel was so different. Daniel knew the consequences. He knew what would happen if he said no. And he still made that decision. He still made a stand. And you know what? Daniel asked for a test. Look what it says in verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. He said, hey, give us a test. For 10 days, give us pulse, give us vegetables and water for 10 days, and then look back after and see what we'll look like. In verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. I find it very interesting that it was Daniel that asked for this test. It wasn't the king, it wasn't the prince over them. It was Daniel that said, prove what the decision that I'm making, prove my conviction, prove and challenge what I believe in. I don't know about you, but I'm not someone who easily asks for tests. As I was going through school and college, I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. I'll pass on the tests. But we can all agree this morning that tests are important. You need tests. Tests show how much you know. Tests reveal how much you know about a topic. But it also prepares you and it shows if you are growing and learning whatever it is throughout the year. So tests are important. And I believe that's why Daniel asked for a test. Because he didn't just want to prove his stand, but he also wanted to prove that his obedience to God would stand. You see, the test revealed where Daniel's faith in God was at. Daniel wasn't confident in his abilities. He wasn't confident in a decision that he made. He was confident in God who was faithful to him and the one who would be with him and who is with him and will reward him as a result of the decision. I believe that Daniel understood the history of the children of Israel and what God had told them, that if they obey him, they would be rewarded. But if they disobey, they will be punished. I believe Daniel understood that. And we see that because he puts God to the test. And we're going to see later on that God rewards him. But I noticed that Daniel requested for a test. Some of you this morning say, boy, I want to experience a trial as soon as I walk out of church this morning. I don't think anyone else is with that. But ultimately, it's those trials and those tests in our lives that allow us to grow. But not just us, it puts our faith and trust in God and it grows. You may be going through a trial right now and a storm. And you wonder, how can I stand? How can I go through this specific situation? See, the pressure around you, it may not come from this chaotic world, but it may be a bill that's coming up. Maybe a decision that is forcing you to make one. Maybe there's a deadline. I'm not sure what it is. And in those times of pressure, will you continue to do what's right? In those times of pressure, will you still be faithful to God? In those times where you don't know what's going to happen, will you still continue to be in His Word? In those times of pressure, will you continue to be in prayer? In those times of pressure, will your life honor God? See, Daniel could have said, I'm away from home. I'm away from what I know. It does not matter now that I'm in a new country. But to Daniel, location didn't matter to him. It did not matter to him who was there, whether he was surrounded by his family or whether he was surrounded by strangers. He still made a decision to stand for Christ. You see, if we are going to have an unshakable faith, we need to be faithful during the tests. You may not be asked to change a name this morning or eat a specific food, but there may be pressure as soon as you walk out this morning on whether you're going to do right at work. There may be pressure on what you're going to do when your friends want you to do something that you know goes against what the Bible says. You may be faced with pressure on a decision that your family wants you to do. I'm not sure what it is, but in those times, will you be faithful to God? 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The context of this verse, Paul has just gone through an entire chapter of correcting so many issues with the church of Corinth. And I love that at the end, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, because of who we are, because we are sinners, we make mistakes, we fail, we fall short. But that doesn't mean that we need to stop being faithful. Just because we make a mistake, that doesn't mean that we should stop reading our Bible. That doesn't mean that we should stop going to God in prayer. Yes, we should confess our sins, but we should continue to be faithful to God, no matter the circumstance. See, Paul is telling them, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So talking about our VBS, a lot of vows has been put in preparing, praying, decorating, whatever that may be. Our labor is not in vain. It may seem like, oh, how can God work in this situation? How can God do this? All we are responsible for is just to be faithful to Him. Who are you going to be faithful to when there is pressure? 1 Peter 1:6 through 7 also says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter's addressing, hey, it's difficult. When we go through temptations and trials, it's hard. He's not diminishing the difficulty of a storm or a trial. But notice what he says in verse 7. Because it continues, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, what we can take as assurance in those trials in the midst of those storms is that there was a purpose for the test. There was a purpose for the storm, and it is for the honor and glory of God. We can see throughout the Bible with people who went through storms and you wonder how they could ever get through it. If you remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and then put into prison for a false accusation, but ultimately he went through all that and he was still faithful. He still wouldn't disobey God and he became a royalty in Egypt. But he went through storms. Job, who was the wealthiest man in his time in the Bible, lost almost everything in a day. He was covered in ashes. He was going through a storm. But then at the end, there was a purpose for Job's trial. At the end of Job, he realizes who he was and who God was. But then, I love in the end of Job, it says that God blessed him back double than everything he was before. You see, in that storm that you're in, I don't know what God is trying to teach you this morning, but we need to make a decision that in the midst of that storm, I am going to be faithful no matter what, because that's what God blesses. You see, Daniel's conviction stood because it was established beforehand. And even when it was tested, he still stood under pressure. But then notice with me, he was rewarded for his stand. Look finally what it says in verse number 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared, fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill, and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Point number three, notice with me, his convictions, they were honored. Notice what happened at the end of those 10 days, their countenances appeared. They passed the test. Then in verse 16, once the prince of the eunuchs saw it, he took away the meat, he took away everything, and he started giving them pulse because it wasn't just something that Daniel said, it actually showed up as a result of the test. Now I want you to notice something very interesting in this passage. After day one, nothing happened. Daniel had to keep doing and keep being faithful to that decision. After day two, same thing happened. I'm sure Daniel was faced with the same temptation every single day to just put away what he knew was right and to just indulge with what was offered to him. Day three, day four, and so on. And it wasn't until after 10 days that they realized there was something to Daniel's decision. There's something to Daniel's conviction. Church, can I tell you this morning that when you stand for the first time, people may not understand. People will not understand why you're making that decision. They may not understand why you're doing that. But just be faithful. Be faithful to that conviction. Be faithful to that stand. You see, I'm sure the results of the test surprised Melzar. I'm sure it surprised the king. I'm sure it surprised the people around him, but I can tell you, Daniel and his friends, I do not think they were surprised by the result of this test because they trusted in God and they stepped out by faith for this test. See, they were honored, not because of what they ate, but they were honored because they stood and obeyed God in the midst of facing immense pressure. You see, but Daniel had to wait for 10 days for this outcome. He had to be faithful to it. And he trusted God that he was going to be faithful to him. But how did God honor Daniel's faithfulness? Notice what it says in verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. But notice what he gave Daniel in the ending part of verse 17. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You see, when the Babylonian Empire went and invaded and brought Daniel and his friends back, they weren't brought in to interpret dreams. That's not what Daniel was in Babylon for. He was there as a eunuch. He was serving them. He was as a servant. But God gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. If you read the rest of this chapter, it's amazing what happens. You see, once the king of Babylon hears about this and brings Daniel and his friends before him, and he starts to talk with them and commune with them, as the Bible says, he realizes that their knowledge and understanding, it's so much better than his magicians, than the people that he had previously. How did they get to this point? How did Daniel get from being a captive Hebrew boy to having understanding and knowledge far above the people in Babylon? And how did he have understanding and visions? It started with a decision to stand. You see, Daniel's understanding of dreams and visions, if you continue reading through the book of Daniel, it would come into play many times. See, Daniel would continue to live in Babylon. He would become someone who could interpret dreams. But this wasn't the only time Daniel had to stand. This wasn't the only time that Daniel had to stand in front and face pressure about what to do. Remember, after Babylon is overthrown and the new king takes over, the king, Nebuchadnezzar's son, had a dream. There was a hand on the wall that had a certain message that God had for that king. That very night, he was going to be overthrown, but he had no idea what it meant. Daniel interpreted it. Daniel's three friends, the fiery furnace, when everyone was told to bow down to the golden image, and everyone else bowed down except the three Hebrew men. They had to take a stand. But many years later, Daniel would be faced with an option. Am I going to pray when there was a decree given that you cannot pray? Or he would be thrown in the lion's den. You see, church, when we take a stand, that may not be the only time that we need to stand. We may be asked to take a stand every single day or every week, whatever that may be, whether it's in your workplace or with your family, you may be asked to take a stand, but are you going to be faithful to that? And notice that every time Daniel took a stand, it seemed like he was elevated. He was elevated more and more because he took a stand. You see, just because we are Christians doesn't mean that life gets easier and easier. You see, taking a stand for Christ in the midst of pressure may have to be done multiple times. But the question is, will you be faithful and honor God during your stand? I'm going to tell you that your workplace may not change. Your family may not change. You may be faced with that decision every single day. And it can be difficult. It can be tough. But will you trust in God and be faithful? And will your faith grow in order to make the stand? You see, whether you like it or not, people are watching the way you live. People are watching what you do. And in those situations, they're going to ask, will he take a stand or not? People are watching, and maybe you may be the only one. The purpose of us standing and having an unshakable faith is so that we can honor and glorify God. Daniel's life honored God, but I believe that his life also influenced others. Going back to the story of Daniel's friends who would not bow down to the image, I'm sure Daniel's stand had influence on their lives. Because when the king gave him another chance, he said, "O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." They already made their decision to stand. They didn't even have to think about it. Now, when we're faced with that pressure, do we have to stop and think about what we're going to do? Do we weigh the pros and cons of standing for Christ? Or do we know that he is faithful? And are we going to trust him to take a stand? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. See, this is describing our world, the chaos around us, the crooked and perverse nation. It's not going to get any better. But what we can decide right now is if all light is going to shine in the midst of that, in the midst of pressure. That's our purpose and our goal as Christians, to shine as lights and to stand in the midst of a pressure-filled world. You see, Daniel's greatest victory, I don't think his greatest victory was that he interpreted dreams. I think the greatest decision that he made and the victory that he had was that he never stopped obeying God. No matter what came up, no matter the circumstance, he continued to stand and he continued to have faith in God. Why was that? It wasn't because Daniel was extraordinary, I'll tell you that. But it was because his faith was unshakable in an extraordinary, almighty, and powerful God. If we are going to stand and have unshakable faith this year, tomorrow, this week, our faith can't be in ourselves and how strong we are. But we have to rely on God. Tomorrow morning, some of you will walk into a workplace, office, classroom, or spend time with family and friends. The question is, will you remain faithful to an extraordinary God in the midst of a pressure-filled, chaotic world? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have a time of invitation this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. See, Daniel's greatest need wasn't to simply stand for God. First, he had to belong to God. And the same is true for you. The Bible says that we are all sinners separated from God because of our sin. But God loved you so much. He loved the whole world that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He offers the free gift of salvation to all who will repent and place their faith and trust in him. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, you say, Brother Ben, I do not believe I have a relationship with God. I do not believe that I am a child of God. But I would like to receive him this morning. I want him to save me and be my personal Savior. If that's you, would you please raise your hand this morning? No one's looking around. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Christian, this morning, Daniel didn't wait until the pressure came to decide what he was going to do. He purposed, he determined in his heart to take a stand. Maybe God has spoken to your heart this morning. Is there an area where you've been compromising? Is there some pressure that you've been experiencing and you haven't been able to stand? Maybe it's family or friends that's influencing your decision. I'm not sure what it is. But if we are going to be lights in this world, if we are going to honor and glorify God with our lives, we need to decide today to stand. How many of you will make the decision this morning that no matter what tomorrow brings, no matter where God places me, no matter who is around me, no matter what's going on around me, I'm going to obey God and take a stand for him? You would say, I would like to make that decision this morning. Would you please raise your hand? I'm going to stand for Christ. Hands all over the room. Thank you. Would you please, everyone, please stand as we have a time of invitation this morning. The altar is open. If you would like to pray and ask God, God, please help me to stand. God knows the situation that you're in, whether it's with family or friends, whatever that may be. God knows your situation, and he is the one. The Bible says that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you want to stand, if you want to obey God's command, you can't do it on your own. You can't rely on your own strength. The staff here in the front who would love to pray with you, the altar is open. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to take a stand. Father, you know the situations that we are in. You already know the way the world is, and you know the stand that we have to take. I pray that you would give us the strength and enable us to rely on you to stand and to have an unshakable faith this morning. Pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Again, thank you so much for